From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. Alejandro Abele from the Duke University Medical Center is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about the discovery of a genetic link between the immune and nervous systems.
Dr. Alejandro Abele is Assistant Professor in the Duke University Medical Center's Department of Molecular Genetics and Microbiology. His laboratory uses genetic and functional genomic techniques to study the genetic basis of innate immunity. Dr. Abele, your research group recently reported a fascinating finding regarding the immune and nervous systems in the roundworm C. elegans. What did you discover?
Basically, what we discovered, it's a neural circuit that functions to suppress innate immunity. Innate immunity, right, comprises a variety of defenses that protect animals against pathogens. So, for example, the recognition of microbial pathogens is crucial for the activation of innate immune responses, such as the secretion of substances with antimicrobial properties. So in our studies, we have used C. elegans, which is a nematode, a worm. And so this worm, C. elegans, it's a very good animal model. So even though C. elegans is small, it's only 1 millimeter long. So 1 millimeter, it's how thick a credit card is, more or less. So, it can be seen in great detail under the stereo microscope. So the worm is transparent, so which makes very easy to visualize its different tissues and cells. And most importantly, the genetic and genomic resources that are available for C. elegans research are outstanding. So we use this tiny little worm to identify specific neurons in the nervous system that control the innate immune responses.
This idea of a link between the nervous and immune systems has been around for a long time. Would you provide the key details about your study and how were you able to specifically confirm this link?
We were able to demonstrate that three pairs of neurons in the nervous system of the worm regulate innate immunity. So more specifically, we found that worms exhibiting higher activity in those three pairs of neurons were more susceptible to bacterial infections than control worms. So we also use worms that the laboratory of our collaborator at Rockefeller University, Corey Barman, engineered to lack those neurons. So, well, basically animals lacking the inhibitory neurons were more resistant to bacterial infections than the control animals. So higher activity of three pairs of neurons made the animals more susceptible to bacterial infections, right? While the absence of the neurons themselves made the animals more resistant to bacterial infection. So that's one set of experiments that we did. So further evidence of the link between the nervous system and the immune system also came from the expression profiling studies using microarrays. So those studies basically found that in worms more susceptible to pathogen infection, several genes that are the markers of innate immune responses were misregulated. So what is maybe more important is that most of these genes that are markers of innate immune responses that are regulated by a pathway that involves P38, which is a protein kinase. So this P38 pathway is key for the regulation of innate immunity, not only in C. elegans, not only in this tiny worm, but also in mammals, including humans.
That sort of leads to my next question, because you mentioned before that C. elegans is a good model organism. And eventually, I'm sure a lot of this work you want to apply to work with humans. Why specifically is C. elegans a good model organism for building up research and then taking it to mammals and including humans?
First of all, right, C. elegans is believed to be a soil nematode. So in the wild, C. elegans lives in the soil, where it wanders around and it gets in contact with eventually potentially pathogenic bacteria. So actually free-living nematodes such as C. elegans are known to be in contact with several human pathogens found in the soil. And they can transport human pathogens and contaminate food, for example. So this suggests that the interactions between C. elegans and pathogens that we study in the lab are not necessarily artificial and may actually take place in nature. In the specific context of the study of these neural immune communications, we can perform also experiments using C. elegans that with the technologies available today are uniquely possible with worms. So the nervous system of C. elegans, right, only has 302 neurons. And the complete neural layout of the nervous system of C. elegans is already known. So, and also several investigators have made great advances in terms of identifying synaptic connections. So, and I mentioned, right, that we can also kill or activate a specific neuron. So all these features, for example, will allow us to study the flow of information between the neurons involved in responses to pathogen infection, and those are experiments that cannot be done in more complex organisms. At the very basic level, those processes are highly conserved. So we do expect to be able to translate at least part of our findings in the nematode to higher organisms, right?
In addition to shedding light on neuronal regulation of immunity, how might your work open up doors to a better understanding of non-neuronal processes?
Well, I would say that it's not just our work. Several other laboratories have demonstrated that various key non-neuronal processes are regulated by the nervous system in C. elegans. So, for example, fat storage and response to heat stress by non-neuronal cells appear to be under the control of the nervous system as well. So our work provides us another piece of evidence that basically key physiological processes at the organismal level are controlled by the nervous system.
You were quoted as saying that your studies should set the stage for a new field of research. How would you describe this new research field?
Well, it would be basically the use of C. elegans to study the communications between the nervous and innate immune systems.
What further projects do you have planned to advance this research to the next level?
Well, I just mentioned that we would like to study the flow of information between neurons involved in responses to pathogen infections. We also would like to identify the signals that the nervous system and the immune system may actually be using to communicate to each other. And, well, of course, it would be ideal to be able to use in the future a mammalian model organism to address the extent to which we can translate our findings in the worm to mammals and eventually humans.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.